The Sharpshooters, episode 45, February 18th, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to episode 45 of the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. This is episode 45 of our podcast, one day removed from episode 44.
Nah, we skipped a day. We skipped Friday.
I said one day removed.
Oh.
Because, you know, we had Friday to skip. Whatever. Yeah. So let me give out our contact information before I forget. It's, our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. That's at right. That address, you can send us audio comments, email, suggestions, comments, or just ranting.
And the Sharpshooters spelled with D-A.
Yes. Also, we have a Frapper map that Marcus loves so much.
I love it.
We have polls on the site. And newly added to the Sharpshooters, I guess, conglomerate is now we have voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail via Skype with our Skype ID name of The Sharpshooters. That's the same thing as the show, DASHARPSHOOTERS. Or for those who do not have Skype, you can call our voicemail hotline, which is area code 310-928-6889. For those of you who call us, please be aware, if you guys do not live in Southern California, it might be a long distance call, so use your cell phone or at least get permission. But with that out the way, I guess it's time to start the show, right, Marcus?
Let's go, man. Let's get it.
I guess being
one. Oh, wait. Aren't we supposed to say something? Something else is missing. Both of us at podcastla.com. We're at 303 now. And that's all I had to say. All
right. Now, of course, being one day removed from episode 44, there will not be much news available. So I can't even say it's a slow week in news. I'm going to say it's a slow day in news. So the first news item that I do have is that this Sunday is the No Way Out pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And as usual, when we have pay-per-views and we remember the pay-per-views that Sunday, we're going to let you guys know what matches are scheduled for that. So for this pay-per-view, we have Kurt Angle versus Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Champion or the World Championship.
I think that's going to be a great match. Plus, with the if you look at the Undertaker DVD with Kurt Angle's match on there, they had an excellent match there, and it never had an ending. Finally, there might be some resolution to this.
Then we have Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton for the number one, for the spot to headline WrestleMania.
I think this is going to be a good match, but then you have the Royal Family at ringside, along with Chavo.
Then we have Booker T versus Chris Benoit.
Booker T is healed and he's ready to fight.
He's full of hell too.
Yep.
We have JBL versus Lashley, and I'm actually looking forward to this match.
Yeah, because later on we establish it, why we're looking for it.
Then we have Eminem versus Matt Hardy and a mystery partner. Now, the mystery partners that have been rooming around, I'm not really happy about it. Hopefully, Jeff gets released today and he comes back. But maybe I doubt that.
Maybe they traded Hardcore Holly for that mystery partner.
I mean, when you can trade announcers with NBC and ABC, you can trade wrestlers. Yes. And then we have, I guess, a Cruiserweight Battle Royal, maybe Gauntlet. It's no limit. They didn't really tell us the rules. It's just pretty much Gregory Helms versus every cruiserweight in WWE.
Yes.
He must defend his title.
And let me go through them. Super Crazy Psychosis, Kendrick, London,
Nunzio,
Kid Cash, Bunaki, Scotty Too Hotty.
That's it. Scotty Too Hotty got a title shot. God damn
it. That's later on in the
and
show.
And also for our poll result question, do you feel that WWE was exploiting the death of Eddie Guerrero? 90.9% of you felt yes.
No, and you have to go the overwhelming amount. Is it a landslide?
It was a landslide.
A landslide. 90.91% says yes.
And 9% said no. Now, for me, I would like to know the 9% that said no. Could you please email me and let me know why do you feel that they're not exploiting Eddie Guerrero?
Hold on. I think I'm that 9%.
Oh, you put no?
I think I put it. I was going to click to check the results, and I think I clicked no.
Well, 9% is a lot more. But anyway, right. It doesn't matter. So now we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Marcus' review of the ECW DVD that was just recently released. We'll see you guys in a couple of seconds. right, after the short break and the horrendous break music, because I didn't have time to find audio clips, because as I mentioned last week, I am going on vacation. So I might not even be here when you guys listen to this show. But enough about me. It's time for the review of Bloodsport ECW, the Most Violent Matches DVD. This is a two-DVD set and includes 19 of the most brutal matches in the history of ECW. At least that's what the back of the DVD says. Some of the wrestlers that are featured on this match, on this DVD, you have Sabu, Taz, Tommy Dreamer, Cactus Jack, the Dudley Boys, Raven, Sandman, Terry Funk, and there's a lot more on the DVD that's not mentioned. This DVD runs 5 hours and 15 minutes.
It did?
Yes.
Wow. Marcus, I need to get a life,
has took it upon himself to watch every match on this DVD.
Including extras.
Including extras. Well, I didn't list the extras. So we're going to go through each match, and I guess we're just going to ask Marcus, did he like it or what? Mm-hmm. So on this one, we have the first match is Cactus Jack and his mystery partner, Mikey Whipwreck, versus Public Enemy. How was that match, Marcus?
It was all right. Nothing special about it.
It wasn't brutal, but it was just kind of funny because I did see this match, how Mikey was kind of running away.
Yeah.
Then we have Sandman and Terry Funk versus Cactus Jack and the franchise, Shane Douglas.
Man, and then this is when you can see he at one point was the franchise instead of the out-of-shape guy who he is now. And actually missing from TNA now. A great match. I love this match. I don't know what I can say. All these matches were pretty good. All
right, let me just give off the rest of the matches then. Huh? You have Axel Rotten versus Ian Rotten in a Taipei Death match.
Now that match, hold on, let me comment on this match. These are some crazy sons of guns. I could have said the other word, but you can't call nobody a bitch after what they did. Let me tell you what Taipei Death match for those who don't know. All right, you take this is how it's described. You wrap your hands in tape. You stick your hands in glue. Yes. Then you go into the next box, which is filled with glass, so it can stick onto the tape and glass, and then you slug it out the whole match. Now, these fools are crazy. And then they actually go as like, now this is one of the most violent matches I've seen. That's a 10-piece death match. Hell of a match.
Taipei,
Tempei, it doesn't matter, man. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Wow,
man.
That's impressive. Then you have Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Psychosis in a Mexican death match, which is not true as advertising because Rey Mysterio and Psychosis are both still living.
Come on. Let me tell you this. The 10-piece death match, every match was called a death match at ECW, it seems like. Let me get up to this one. It was all right. You can see young Rey Mysterio.
When he was still a junior.
Yeah, you know, when he's actually smaller than what he is now, believe it or not. And you see Psychosis in full mask before we had to see his face every week.
Then we have the franchise Shane Douglas versus Chris Lionheart Jericho and Flash Funk, Too Cold Scorpio, and Pitbull number 2.
Best match on the DVD, period. This is like a 40-minute match. It's just great. Because it's an elimination, like Fatal 4-Way type thing.
The way that ECW did their Fatal 4-Ways.
And you had Jericho and pretty much Lionheart Chris Jericho in rare form. And Too Cold Scorpio was just flipping everywhere. Not very violent. Very technical. It's also funny seeing Shane Douglas tag himself out and then tag himself in during every opportune moment.
How does he tag himself out?
He would grab somebody else's, not his partner, one of the wrestlers his, and slap their hands onto his and say, clean tag.
All right. Then you have Tommy Dreamer versus Brian Lee in a weapons match.
Every match is a weapons match. I think this is the one they went outside.
You have Rob Van Dam versus Sabu in a stretcher match.
Yes, Rob Van Dam and Sabu almost killed himself numerous times.
You have Terry Funk versus Sandman versus Stevie Richards.
All right, nothing really special.
And that's on this one. So on this one, the best match, Mark, is franchise Chris Jericho, Too Cold Scorpio.
This is the best match overall.
Oh, but that's just on this one. Yeah. You have to give me a best match for this, too.
Okay.
This, too, you have Sabu versus Terry Funk in a barbed wire match.
Now, this match is crazy.
Is it a real barbed wire
this
match?
This is crazy because at one point in the end, Sabu ties himself in full barbed wire jumps on Terry Funk, who's already entangled in barbed wire outside the ring, and then he pinned, and it's like he couldn't even pin them. They were so entangled in the barbed wire in the end. Is that, and then they tried to clip them out, but they couldn't. It took them like an hour to clip them out of the barbed wire, and it was very painful.
So it put a
and
bit.
And you hear Terry Funk like, oh, I'm gonna get my eye out, don't cause mine.
And so it's pretty much a more graphic barbed wire match than the Abyss Sabu one.
This would make you cringe. Just like you see skin peeling off.
Is it kind of like in Saw 2 when they throw her into the bed of syringes and they're pulling the syringes out and it's like,
Yeah, but okay. It's a lot worse because it's real.
Okay, now we have Bella McGillicuddy versus Bill Alfonso.
Probably the funniest match of the night because I guess it was supposed to be a mixed tag match with, I think, Tommy. Was it? No,
nope,
it was a mixed tag match. It started off that way. That's how it starts. It's a mixed tag match, but I believe Tommy Dreamer and whoever I think it was Tommy Dreamer. I'm not sure who the other two. And they leave, and then it's just Bella McGillicuddy and Will Alfonso. Will, it doesn't matter.
It does matter because
I call him Fozzie.
Okay?
I call him Fozzie.
People love Fozzie because he was manager of Taz and then RVD. I mean, come on.
Fozzie's cool, man. Anyway, he gets his ass whooped. But he slaps. It's one of those matches where it deserves to be called one of the finest matches because you can never see this anywhere else other than ECW. All
right, then you have Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow. This is when they go through the ring, right?
Nope.
This is not the one match?
No, that was the one before this one. This is another match when they have.
That's a death match.
Yes, I guess so. And, you know, they did a lot of stuff. Pretty good match. Great match. It's nice seeing old Taz, though.
Okay, now you have Taz versus Shane Douglas, a franchise.
This wasn't even violent. I don't remember this being violent at all. It was more, it actually was a mat wrestling match. So
okay.
Like, and as you see, the franchise is the recurring theme on this.
Yeah, the franchise is going to have the most featured matches.
Yeah, and he had a lot of the best ones.
Then you have the Dudley Boys versus Spike Dudley and Balls Mahoney.
This is a good match. Seeing the Dudley Boys in shape. In rare form, pretty much, and how in sync they were together. Every move they did was perfect and well thought out. Spike got his ass whooped as expected. Balls Mahoney goes through the flaming table after he sets it up to burn Devon on the table, which is a big backfire.
All right.
And that was a great match.
Now we have that 70s guy, Mike Awesome, versus Spike Dudley. And this was for the championship. I know that much.
Yep.
And wow, Spike Dudley got a title shot.
Spike Dudley went through tables every other minute. Spike is on the ground going through something that looks even more painful than the previous one.
Wow. Then you have Rhino versus Sandman.
Oh, by the way, Mike Awesome did have his mullet, which is always hilarious.
You have Rhino versus Sandman.
I don't remember this one. It was very short, that's why.
All right, you have Super Crazy versus Tajiri versus Little Guido. Question for you before you even get... Was Super Crazy skinny?
No.
All right. Little Guido, for people who don't know, that's Nuzio.
This is a good match. Nice seeing Tajiri in Tajiri's form and not toned down in WWE. Doing tarantulas and kicking in the head as violent as he could.
And then you have Tommy Dreamer versus C.W. Anderson. And that's this too.
Hey, you're missing a match. Oh, no, the other one was considered
those
a
are extras,
feature.
Yeah.
Well, so, hold on. Let me get C.W. Anderson and Tommy Dreamer.
Who the hell is C.W. Anderson?
I don't know! It was an I Quit match.
I know.
And it was crazy because C.W. Anderson, I didn't know who he was. And I was like, damn, this dude's tough. And it's like, that was a hell of a match itself.
So, on the
best I Quit
on
matches.
This two, which is the best match for you?
This two? Let's see. It's probably Terry Funk and Sabu Barbed Wire.
Just because you were so grossed out by that?
Yeah, and I enjoyed the Fozzie and what you call them?
So which one is your favorite match?
And I also enjoyed the Dudleys and Balls Mahoney.
So which one is your favorite match?
I also enjoyed the extra match with Mike Awesome and Tanaka from One Night Stand. And Joey Styles' commentary against Mike Awesome. And how he is so against Mike Awesome 100%. So my favorite match has to go to Barbed Wire.
Okay, awesome. Why did you have to mention all those other matches?
Those other matches were cool, man. This DVD is a must-buy.
So from your happiness, Marcus, I see that you enjoyed this DVD
a lot. And hopefully there's like a volume 2 or 3 after this, man. This is great.
Do you think it could have been considered false advertising, the most violent matches? It shouldn't be considered the best matches?
No, there were some violent-ass matches. But the 10-piece death match,
no, but Marcus.
Beating up
Bill
McGillicuddy.
No, but hearing... Something called the most violent. I expect blood and gore out of each match.
Almost every match has blood and gore.
Okay.
But every match actually does have blood and gore. It's just some of them are more toned down. Even the Taz and Shane Douglas, when I say it was a mat wrestling a little bit more, they actually had some blood and gore in there too.
So Mark, so you saying this is a great DVD?
This is a great DVD.
So you want to do a, you want to do a contest and give it away?
What?
You want to do a contest and give away the Bloodsport ECW DVD? Not ours, but you think we should? We can talk about that off the show. People, it might be another contest coming. Woo. We do have episode 50 coming up, so who knows? So, as you can see, Marcus enjoyed the DVD. So, if you guys don't have it, go out and buy it. If we do do a contest, maybe you can win it. Who knows? But right now, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with the Friday Night SmackDown report. We'll see you guys in a few minutes. Now time for the SmackDown report. And before we start, I just have to say how much I love the SmackDown theme song. I don't know why, but maybe because Raw theme song ain't been changed in how many years.
Raw theme song sucked for a while.
And then I do like the whole idea how it starts off really slow and then he just starts screaming.
Your obsession with this theme song lately. This is not the first time I have heard this. He says this every week when he gets the clip. I love this theme song. Cause I won't be just nothing. Okay.
Anyway, it's time for the SmackDown report. Once again, SmackDown started off kind of like how Raw started off. It just started off with a match. No talking, no nothing. It was Rey Mysterio.
Actually, it does have talking.
How?
Come on, when he comes out.
Hold on. Wait, let's get there. So it comes out with Rey Mysterio coming out. They show footage from last week when Rey attacked Randy and gave him the concussion. I mean, it looked better with the camera angles that they did the editing. And then Sivan came out. Sivan came out with a mic, had the nerve to brag that he's the best superstar on SmackDown. Marcus, what has Sivan done on SmackDown to take this claim of fame?
Let me tell you this. The last time I think I seen Sivan on SmackDown, he fought Hardcore Holly and got beat up by Hardcore Holly.
Last time he was on SmackDown was when he fought Bobby Lashley. He was fighting with Bobby Lashley and then he whooped his butt because he was Bobby Lashley at that time.
He's still Bobby Lashley.
No, he's Lashley now.
Everybody calls him Bobby. All right. The fans call him Bobby.
So, Sivan has this mic and he's talking. Thank God Rey Mysterio delivers a dropkick from inside the ring out onto him and then he jumps over the top rope onto him and beats him up outside. That shuts him up. Pretty much, Rey was in rare form dominating a good early on portion of this match. He landed a tilt-a-whirl head scissor, but then he crashes and burns when he attempts a Bronco Buster. Attempting a Bronco Buster should never be done because...
it's the worst movie wrestling.
It's the worst movie.
And then it brings up bad memories of the late, great Sean Waltman, known as X-Pac.
But he's in TNA now.
No, he's in the NAW.
No, he's in TNA. He's back. If you go to their webpage, he's on there.
Oh, okay.
Now, the problem with this Bronco Buster, what it does now, it gives Sivan the advantage and he starts to put work in on Rey. You should never let Sivan put work in.
Sivan should never have any offensive moves.
Yes.
Especially against the so-called number one contender and super future main eventer at WrestleMania, Rey Mysterio Jr.
So Sivan begins to work over Rey's back. He gives him a back suplex and then a bear hug. It's a regular bear hug, then it's a reverse bear hug that he gives him. Rey finally breaks out of the bear hug, but he does a somersault off the top rope, but Sivan catches him with a clothesline. So Sivan plays with him a little bit, but then, of course, in Rey Mysterio faction, he lands a drop toe hold, puts him in 619 position, hits the 619, and I believe I heard Michael Cole or Taz say he dropped the dime for the win.
Which is that but a springboard leg drop.
Yeah, and I guess it's called dropping the dime.
He's dropping the dime. What was the one move, 1984?
I remember the 1941. It was in one pay-per-view. They called it something. I don't know.
Yeah, and they haven't did it since.
So after this match, Randy Orton comes out with mic in hand, of course.
And in full wrestling gear. Yes. And look like he's been wrestling before already.
And he said that if he did not have a concussion, he would come down there and beat the hell out of Rey. Then he went and took more Eddie Guerrero shots, but they weren't bad ones. As you see, they learned. He said that he might have said some things about Eddie that was harsh, but there's one thing that he cannot take away from Eddie Guerrero, and that he headlined WrestleMania, and he won the championship, and Ray will never be able to headline WrestleMania or win a championship because he cannot beat Randy Orton.
Randy Orton has just to say that because, you know, Ray Mysterio has never beat Randy Orton. But
exactly.
But Randy Orton has defeated Ray Mysterio numerous times.
I think they're going to have a better match at No Way Out than people give him credit for.
I say it's going to be a pretty good match. Ray is not a bad wrestler. Orton is not a bad wrestler. You put two good wrestlers together, you can get something good out of it.
My thing sometimes is, I really can't say, I don't know who's going to win. You know what I mean? Because, yes, they're building Ray Mysterio up, but he might not main event. I don't know. It's like, I'm really confused because Randy Orton, since Batista went down, you know he's been like kind of the chosen one to win the belt, but he never has. And now this Ray thing, this is a weird angle for me. I can't really figure it out.
Yeah, but if somebody loses, where do they go? Where would Orton or Mysterio go from here?
That's a very good point. I don't know.
Is there going to be another Money in the Bank match or something?
Has there ever been a triple threat main event match at
WrestleMania? Yes, when Benoit won it, he beat Triple H and Shawn Michaels on the same night.
I think you might want to make this a triple threat.
I don't know.
I think you have Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, and Randy Orton. Can't think of his name. Because Undertaker, from what I understand, he's going to be facing somebody else.
Yeah.
I think it's Mark Henry. Yeah. So that must mean that Mark Henry's going to screw him. We go to commercial, and we're backstage, and this is what concerns me right here, because I always thought Kurt Angle was the bad guy.
Kurt Angle is in between, right?
Confronts Ray, and he tells him not to let Randy talk to him that way, and not tell him that he can't do anything. He tells Ray to never say never, because everybody told Kurt that he couldn't win a gold medal with a broken neck, he would never win a championship, he would never do this. And he tells Ray that it will be an honor to face Ray in the main event.
Uh-oh, did he just condemn him to hell? See, it's the mystery about this. Evolution is a mystery.
Yeah, but then after this, Mark Henry interrupts, grunting and sweating and water. And he says that Kurt Angle doesn't need to worry about who he's going to be facing at WrestleMania, but if he's going to survive the night, because he's going to take out Kurt Angle and Undertaker. Now, my question with Mark Henry, because he took out Batista, does he feel that he can take out anybody? Because he's been promising for the last couple of weeks that he's going to take somebody out. Only thing that looks like he takes out is dinner.
That's a cheap shot at a fat man.
Damn right.
And you didn't need that. And let me say something. I don't know what they can do with Mark Henry. Somebody else can fight the Undertaker. I'll get to that later. It's not important.
No, you're going to forget. Go into it now.
All right. About the Undertaker. About his hair being half gray and half orange. Don't you think he just dyed all gray?
I was saying,
because it just looked like a powerful god or something.
Yeah, I'm telling you, go all gray, then look like the death just took over you. I don't know. Is this supposedly Undertaker's last year of wrestling?
I don't know.
Everybody keeps saying that he's retiring. Now, we go from commercial after that. No, it didn't go to commercial. We go to the ring, and OJ is standing in the ring.
Here we go again.
And OJ has a microphone.
And following Sylvain fashion, he continues to say what Sylvain said.
He proclaims that he's the best wrestler on SmackDown.
No, he says he's the best athlete on SmackDown and wrestling.
Oh, and he should be facing Booker T and not Chris Benoit because he is the greatest athlete in SmackDown history.
Oh, goodness.
He says there isn't anyone in the locker room that he cannot beat. Now, my point is, I like OJ. I think OJ has came a long way since from being in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Wish he would cut his hair, but I think that makes OJ OJ. Mm-hmm. Now, once he said that there's not nobody in the locker room, anybody who knows wrestling know who was coming out then.
No, actually didn't.
You didn't. Boogeyman music hit.
I didn't care because I forgot about the Boogeyman. I just thought maybe Hardy will come on.
You know, the Boogeyman music hits, and he makes his grandiose entrance. OJ looks freaked out, and Michael Cole and Taz sell the terror of the Boogeyman. How Michael Cole just keeps saying, we don't need worms in wrestling, blah, 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 yakety smackety. OJ attacks the Boogeyman from behind when he's in the ring, but the Boogeyman just dances it off because he has that power just to shake off the power.
That's what he does.
Boogeyman catches OJ's foot, lands a clothesline, and wins with a pump handle slam.
As he always does.
After the match, eats a gang of worms and then spits them out on OJ.
Good we had just shortened that up and say the Boogeyman came out and then just go to the next match because you know what would have happened next.
No, because I had some insight on a Boogeyman that I was reading. Do you know this cat really does eat worms backstage? The guy that plays the Boogeyman? He likes worms. Yes.
Not to get in character or nothing. He just
backstage eating worms.
So that fool has a bag of worms back there going, juicy.
Yeah, that was a squirter. Anyway, now it's time for a cruiserweight title match. You have the champion, Gregory Helms, versus, we don't know yet, but Gregory Helms backstage before his match, he's walking through the group of cruiserweights, the Mexicoos, Funaki, and Nuzio.
And I didn't know the Mexicoos were part of the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, and he tells them to watch and learn. Cole and Taz then sell the fact that none of the cruiserweights like him. Then they explain, because you know it was supposed to be Kid Cash versus Gregory Helms this week, mm-hmm. but Kid Cash had a family emergency, so he was not able to fight. So, no other than Scotty Too Hotty gets a title shot. Why the hell does Scotty Too Hotty get this title shot?
Look, Funaki said he doesn't deserve a title shot. Why couldn't Funaki? Jamie Noble.
Where is Jamie Noble?
He always is on Velocity.
He hasn't made it to SmackDown yet.
Yeah, he made it a few weeks ago. I think he got beat up.
I don't remember seeing him. So, Helms opened up the match with a hip toss and begins to pound Scotty in the corner. Mm-hmm. Scotty battles back and he lands a couple of hip tosses of his own and then a back suplex for only a two count. Gregory then rams Scotty into the ring post and gives him a spinning face buster off of his knee, which is kind of cool. It's a nice little move.
Yeah.
He lands multiple leg drops and he spins. He pins Scotty with the Hulk Hogan pose pin. Of course, Scotty kicks out.
Because Scotty is so talented.
Yeah, Scotty then goes on an offensive surge. He signals for the worm, but Helms catches him with a clothesline and signals for the Shining Wizard for the win. All of a sudden, Gregory Helms makes the biggest mistakes of his life. He hops on the mic also, and he says that he hopes that all the cruiserweights in the back was watching because he can prove to any of them at any time that he is the greatest cruiserweight of all time. This is when the mugging of all times happened. Every cruiserweight in the cruiserweight division, except Kid Cash, run out.
And Jamie Noble.
They run out and they surround the ring and they all jump Helms, landing each of their finishing maneuvers.
But the one finishing move that stood out to me had to be...
Super crazy.
No, Psychosis.
The leg drop.
His simple leg drop. Everybody's doing something least nice. Even Nuzio. Didn't Nuzio go off the top with like a leg drop?
No, he just had the drop kick.
Yeah, but at least that didn't make him learn.
I think for the reason why he just did the simple leg drop, because everybody know that Psychosis, when he's a single wrestler, his finishing maneuver is the guillotine leg drop off the top rope. Mm-hmm. The same time and not position him in a way, they probably just told him to do a leg drop right there. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with Super Crazy's monkey flip off the top rope. I thought that was nice. Then, the worst thing that happened, though, the cruiserweight set him up, and now it's time to see the worm.
Yes, because, let me get this, Scotty is the veteran leader of the cruiserweight division. There is so much respect backstage for Scotty, and this must be why he's not fired, because he motivates these cruiserweights. They picked him off his weary knees from getting the lashing of his life from Helms. Most devastating chop.
But I think the greatest line is, this is the kind of worm I like to see, not the ones that we saw before. Quote Michael Cole, something like that. What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know. But nobody needs Scotty.
Then after this...
Hold on, we got to say, why hasn't Scotty been fired yet?
Because he had a decent match with Gregory Helms. I mean, it's a velocity match for me. Mark, how come every time we do the show, you must mess with my DVDs in the corner?
I have to. They're in my way. I have to adjust for my feet, man.
So after this match, they air a video focusing on The Undertaker and how Angle has his work cut out for him at No Way Out.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to commercial, and we come back from commercial, and Gregory Helms is on a trainer table covered in ice and all that.
In agony!
And then Teddy Long walks in.
I knew he was going to screw Greg over. He always screws Hurricane over.
Yeah, and then he says he's going to give Gregory a chance to prove what he said about being the greatest cruiserweight. He will face them all at No Way Out, player, and he walks off.
And you know, Hurricane complained. It was like, come on, Teddy, no, not now, as everybody always does. Why is he against every champion except for Angle at this current time?
I don't know. And then we go from there. We have another interview attempt by Crystal. I think we need to start a streak of how many unsuccessful interview attempts that she has attempted.
I mean, you can start a drinking game.
She hasn't got one. She hasn't had one successful interview yet. So she's trying to interview Paul Burchill, the swashbuckling pirate, and all he says is hello. Then she is interrupted by Mr. Kennedy. We're not going to let Marcus scream into the mic and raise up the input levels.
Kennedy!
So Kennedy says, Kennedy is telling Burchill that if he thinks he's going to go out there dressed like a pirate, the people will laugh at him and consider him a joke.
Wasn't that what you were doing?
That's what I was doing.
That's what I was doing.
But then,
I just want more swashbuckling.
But then Burchill pulls out a sword and puts it under
Kennedy's neck.
And, you know, Kennedy starts to backpedal and say, you know what, it might work and all this good stuff.
And it was, I just wanted to take it to the, I thought he was going to have a match.
I'm sorry, but he needs a parrot and a first mate, and it's worse. You need a first mate.
And I have to hear the music for him. It's kind of mold better, man. Got to mold him. I mean, it's slowly growing because now he has a sword instead of the little knife he had.
He needs to say Davy Jones Locker.
Why does he keep saying hello so casual like he's normal right now?
So after this, we're about to be blessed because Booker T and Charmel are coming out and they're about to do commentary for the next match, which is always a good thing, having Booker T on commentary.
Yes, because Booker T knows every wrestling move in the book and even knows how to deliver ads and everything.
And it's not even about Booker T doing a commentary. The match, let me give you the match, is JBL and Finlay versus Lashley and Chris Benoit. Now, let's talk about Booker T's commentary on this match. Michael Cole and Charmel looks like they're trying to set up a match between them at WrestleMania because she kept taking shots at him and he was taking shots at her.
They have been doing this forever. Since Booker and Michael Cole and Charmel ever talked to each other. Him and Charmel has yet to get along, not once. They have always been bickering back and forth.
And I would just say that Booker T on commentary is the most entertaining thing ever. And I would have gave him a Wrestler of the Week again, but I can't. This was a very good match. One of the best match of the night, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was.
JBL and Finley worked very well together.
Yeah,
and Lashley and Benoit complimented each other also.
Go ahead. And Benoit and Finley in this match, really, there's like this really aggressive agreement they have when they're going to try to kill each other every time they go in the ring together.
The match starts off with Benoit and Finley together, and they're working each other off.
Very aggressive.
And then all of a sudden, Benoit goes for a sliding tackle outside the ring, and of course, that's when Finley lifts up the apron and Benoit, and there he begins to beat him. Now, he beats him down into his corner where JBL is standing. Now get this, it is time to work over the hand. JBL, first Finley slams Benoit's head on a step, distracts the ref, and then JBL gets Benoit's hand, stands on his wrist, and begins to pound on this man's hand.
He begins marching, Eric.
Marching.
It's like he's in a parade going, dun, 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 dun.
But it was like the greatest thing ever, though. And so then finally they roll him back in the ring, and then Finley goes back to work on the hand.
Because apparently, I guess Benoit's nothing without his right or left hand.
Yeah, but what was kind of cool, though, was Benoit was selling the hand injury because when he was making his comeback to make the tag, he was chopping JBL, but he was like, he was shaking his head like he was hurt.
Well, he always does that, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't. Oh. But this one. So finally, Benoit makes the tag to
those razor ass shirt. Oh, to Bobby Lashley.
And Lashley gets to the ring, and he's put in the work for a good minute with his suplexes and stuff. But then JBL and Finley get the best of him. And this is like the first time I ever seen somebody get the best of Lashley because they're working him over to the point where Lashley actually has to tag out.
Yeah, because look, Lashley has been worked over by Kane and Big Show, but those are just one hit of quitters.
Now, can I ask a question, Marcus? You know how like we have Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin? I think they would have been a very good tag team together.
Why do you want to team up everybody?
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, because, you know, Lashley still has a lot of work to do to get become a better wrestler. This is probably his best match that he's had in WWE. But just think they could have been a modern-day Doom, like with Ron Simmons. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I just feel that Shelton is more of a singles wrestler now. And if he ever team with anybody, it has to be with Charlie Haas, the reform, the world's greatest tag team.
So, anyway, this is an excellent match. This match ends by Booker T interferes, of course.
He apparently he's healed from his agonizing groin injury.
So pretty much, Benoit snaps JBL's neck across the top rope, and he's staggered, and he's climbing back into the ring. Booker T gets up from the announce table, levels Benoit with the chair to his back. JBL delivers a clothesline for hell. They get the win. Then Booker T, with pure happiness, realizes that he's not hurt anymore. He's dancing. Look, hey, look at me. Don't need the crutch. And Michael Cole's like, you never needed the damn crutch anyway. And it's just going off.
It's just funny how Booker T was like, Charmel, hate my crutch, hate my crutch. I don't need it no more. He's dancing. And that moment reminded me of the moment in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when Grandpa Joe realized Charlie had the golden ticket and now he could freeload off that boy's fortune.
Exactly. Now, I think, to me, this was the best match of the week for WWE. I think it was better than that. And also, I think it was the best tag team match. Well, not the best tag team match, but I'm just saying, for what they accomplished in this tag team match, they did everything that the Team 3D, Team Canada match should have tried to do and stuff like that. Because it told a great story. JBL and Finley worked very well together. I mean, if they weren't so well as single competitors, they would make a hell of a tag team.
I mean, that whole little group, just imagine. Could you imagine Booker T, JBL, and Finley? Finley being the aggressor, JBL being the personality, and Booker T also being just imagine Booker T and JBL working together, feeding off of each other with their insanely mad genius promos.
I'm just letting you guys know right now, for me personally, the United States Heavyweight Champion means more to me right now than the Heavyweight Champion, because you have so many people going after it. I mean, everybody's gunning for Booker T or Benoit. And the thing is, whoever wins the belt, they're going to give you a good match. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, even Finley. And that also proved that if you put, like, four veterans around a rookie like Lashley, he looks great. And he also threw punches for the first time, which I'm suggesting he needs to move the chops.
Yes. Now it's time to move on to the next match. It's Matt Hardy, and then... Marcus, and I don't know if I ever told you this. Do you know Simon Dean is Shantae's favorite character, my girlfriend? I don't know why she likes Simon Dean, but she was like, hey, that's my favorite guy.
He's a hell of a wrestler if he doesn't get
squashed. He's in the ring with Gemini. He's talking about people are fat and they need to use the Simon system.
I think that was in Virginia. He was like, you Virginia fat hams. And he just really goes off of Virginia. And I'm like, where is this coming from?
So all of a sudden, Matt Hardy music hit. And I can't really remember much from this match. All I remember is Gemini got kicked out from the ringside. And this is where my notes get kind of, you know, shady, because I kind of, this match, well, I wasn't into it. All I know is Matt Hardy got a win, which is nice to see.
No, the curious thing about this match for me was, I honestly, for the first time in a Matt Hardy match, did not know who was going to win. Because, look, you had Simon Dean talking mess before the match, and he had Gemini out there. And I thought maybe the Gemini would interfere and screw Matt Hardy, which would promote him to join Eminem or something like that. But apparently that was false.
But, unfortunately, I guess the only important thing that happened about this match is after this match ended, they went backstage when they came back from
commercial. Oh, you better say Matt Hardy won with the Twist of Fate.
He won with the Twist of Fate. He saw Melina. And Melina, he was like, Melina, I thought about your offer. And he was like, oh, where I scratch your back and you scratch and I scratch yours? He was like, nah, when you issued an open challenge to anybody back there with the team. Mm-hmm. Now, my issue with this is, how do you turn down Melina? How do you do that?
How do you not turn? But where is your career going, Matt? Why would you challenge him? You're going to dig up a pathetic partner.
Because let me tell you who the people that they're circulating right now. It's Animal, who made Heidenreich quit because of his personality. And then you have Tatanka. Matt Hardy and Tatanka, I really don't want to see that. I'm telling you, TNA, fire Jeff Hardy for me. Let Jeff Hardy come back and reform the Hardy
WWE,
Boys.
Fire Matt Hardy and they reform the Hardy Boys. They need to be together, Eric. We've seen them separate. It's not pretty. Their plans in the...
No, it was bad. Matt Hardy's a better wrestler, but Jeff has more charisma. But now on the mic.
They both don't really have charisma on the mic. They need each other.
Yes.
They need to reform.
Like, if you go to the Matt Hardy Show, MattHardyShow.com, you'll see them together. And it's like, you guys need to be a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the main event. It's Kurt Angle and Undertaker versus Mark Henry and Eminem. Of course, the annual, when you have a championship match, you're going to team Undertaker. I mean, team the champ up with the challenger.
But we haven't seen this in a while due to John Cena being champion.
You just wanted to take a shot at John Cena, didn't you?
Yes, because you had the last time we seen this was Eddie Guerrero and Batista.
I don't want to talk about that. That's that. So anyway, this match was pretty much a basic tag team match. It just had pretty much Kurt Angle and Undertaker competing with each other. At the very start of the match, Kurt Angle was getting ready to start the match, and all of a sudden, the Undertaker just steps in front of him like he's going to do it, and Kurt Angle is like, you big bitch. How dare you do this?
Yeah, and Michael Cole really, and Taz really pointed out, that's the greatest form of disrespect when somebody just steps in front of you and like, I'll take it. You can't handle this.
Exactly. So pretty much they fight throughout the match. I don't remember.
Fighting, more just chemistry issues.
It's more brawling. I don't really remember much from this match. I just remember that they had each had a member of Eminem, and then they were competing on who can beat up each member the most. Mm-hmm. Undertaker threw a punch. Angle threw a European uppercut.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker gave him the Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
Angle gave him the Dukes and the European uppercut. Undertaker gave him some more Dukes and threw the guy out the ring. Angle did the same thing.
And the bad part is, Mercury was in the corner getting beat up by Angle. He was getting ready to leave the ring by himself. And Angle was like, no, I got to throw you over to the other side.
And then all of a sudden, Undertaker and Kurt Angle are arguing. And the next thing you know, Big Mark Henry comes and knocks them both out the ring.
Yes, and then that's commercial break, isn't
it? That's commercial break. We come back from the commercial break. They're fighting some more. I really can't tell you what they were doing. Marcus, how did this match end? I can't remember.
You don't remember what happened?
Oh! No, I remember what happened after the match was won.
Me too.
But you don't remember what happened, how the match
got won? Well, at one point, Undertaker was going for like a double.
Oh, I remember now. I remember.
And then
Kurt Angle made Nacho tap.
Yeah.
And he made him tap.
He locked up the ankle lock, and he tapped out.
But I think the most impressive thing was just to show Kurt Angle's intimidation was when Undertaker gave Mark Henry a tombstone piledriver. Wasn't the most prettiest one.
Thought Mark Henry's neck was broken.
Yeah, but the put that he got Mark Henry up was pretty impressive.
And he had him for a good time, too.
Yeah, except he didn't get to put his head in between the middle of the legs.
But that's...
I think the best look, though, was Kurt Angle's look of complete awe. Like this son that just did this. What am I going to do?
And, you know, the mutual respect. That's what this match is about. I respect you. You respect me. Let's go have a good match. And by the way, on top of this note, on Undertaker's DVD, they have a little message from Kurt Angle. And he says, Undertaker is his favorite wrestler of all time.
Wow, didn't know that. So that was SmackDown. I hope you guys can forgive us for the last two matches. We really didn't have much notes on that one.
Eric got lazy in the end, apparently.
I didn't feel like taking notes. The vacation I had to pack and stuff. Yeah, sorry. Damn it.
It just seems like every week you're even sicker on vacation.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the top 5 comebacks in wrestling. Welcome back, everybody. It's now time for the Sharpshooter's top 5 comebacks in wrestling. This is pretty much people who have came back from an injury to come back and actually achieve status.
It's like the Major League Baseball's comeback player of the year, the NFL's comeback player of the year. You
speaking
know,
of baseball,
coming back from the dead.
Sammy Sosa's gonna retire.
Okay. What does that have to do with anything?
I think Sammy Sosa was getting a short end of the stick when Mark McGwire was doing steroids too, when no one wanted to bring up that point.
Anyway,
let's get into the top 5 comebacks. Marcus, who is your number 5?
My number 5 isn't actually a wrestler at all, but he's a commentator. His name is good old JR Jim Ross. Coming back from being fired at one point, having a stroke, and numerous other times, and then coming back and still doing the job to the top of the game today in wrestling, being one of the greatest commentators in wrestling history. JR is number 5. He didn't get hired because he isn't a wrestler and this is supposed to be wrestling comeback. But I feel JR, Jim Ross, good old JR and his barbecue sauce deserve to be an honorary number 5 mention.
My number 5 is RVD, Rob Van Dam. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact, he got hurt in ECW, came back, won a title. got hurt in WWE, come back. He still got a lot of power behind him. I think he's a good pick at my number five. I really couldn't put him any higher because we really don't know what he's going to do after this injury. But from his history in ECW, I think this is a. I think that was a good number five for that
pick. I feel Rob Van Dam is a good pick because he never changed. Even though he's injured and he gets multiple like knee injuries and leg broken legs and all that, he still is the same RVD, still has the flexibility and the Rolling Thunders and the suicide dives off the top rope onto somebody's head from outside the ring on top of a steel chair.
Okay.
And a lot of still get the height on the five-star folks play.
All right. And Marcus, who's your number four?
My number four comes in as Eddie Guerrero.
Before you even say, that was my number four too, because he came back from drugs, alcoholism,
fired,
lost his family, was fired, and he came back to win the WWE Championship.
Yep.
I mean, that's a hell of a story in
itself. Totally redeemed himself entirely.
Go ahead.
He became champion. He became... Pretty much after he came back from the drugs and alcohol and all that us there, he pretty much built himself up into the Wrestling Hall of Fame by just really breaking down barriers as to becoming the first Hispanic heavyweight champion in the history of wrestling and fighting all the demons, being a great example of just because you're down and out doesn't mean you can't come back and perspire. Perspire, is that the right word?
I don't know.
That sounds like sweat, I think.
Yeah.
But you could perspire or something like that. Exceed everyone's expectations. Become the man in charge of your
generation. I think Eddie Guerrero's story is so nice that it actually could be made into a movie. Maybe not a blockbuster in the theater, but you know, into a TV made.
TV, ESPN movie?
Yeah, or...
With Tom Sizemore and Eddie Guerrero? Like, what?
Shut up, Marcus. Go to your number three now.
All right. My number three comes with Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
The Nature Boy. Woo!
Broke his back in the airplane.
Broke his back in that airplane crash. And today, at age God knows what.
36, I believe.
There's no evidence how old this man is. It's like Joe Louis was 108 years old. He comes to America. I mean, Ric Flair is old as dirt. He was. And he came back from that broken back. Not only is he won the title like 16 times after that plane crash. He's like, at least Ric Flair, it's like, there's no way you cannot consider him that be one of the greatest comeback stories ever. Somebody that was down and out and should have never wrestled again has became probably the greatest in history.
All right, so that's your number three?
That's my number three.
My number three is also somebody who suffered from back trouble, kind of like Ric Flair. And that would be no other than the showstopper himself,
that's my
HBK,
number two.
Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels overcame alcoholism, his family, his back trouble, all that good crap, and he came back. I believe, didn't he win a title once he came back once, at least?
Yeah, something like that.
And now he's still going, almost was forced to retire last week. And what can you say?
I mean, this man lost his smile. He's my number two, by the way.
Okay.
And he lost his smile.
He lost his smile.
I mean, who can't come? How could you come back after losing your smile like that? No, he's my number two because at one point he injured his back so bad. His career, people say his career's over. He'll never wrestle again. Similar to what Ric Flair has, pretty much. But he's outshowed them all, still kicking today, doing some dangerous moves, jumping over the top. Had excellent matches with Triple H with their little feud they had with Shawn Michaels returning. And, you know, those little pieces, he kept returning a feud with Triple H somehow. And he also, better than ever, still having great matches with, like, Angle, as Flair is. And pretty much, Flair and Shawn Michaels were equal. At one point, Shawn Michaels, I believe in his book, say at one point he wanted to kill himself. Which
they usually always wanted to kill himself or something. Like, even Jake, everybody wanted to
kill
himself.
Yeah, because of his alcoholism, he couldn't wrestle no more. And then he found God, and
everything worked out.
And now Vince wants his God. And
yeah, he wants his inner peace.
And that's why Shawn Michaels equals my number two.
My number two is no other than the Rattlesnake himself, Steve Austin. True, he didn't fully come back, but he came back enough to win the belt briefly until he re-injured his neck again.
No, Steve Austin's my number one, by
He's your number one?
Yes. Oh, you want me to talk about it?
Go ahead. Speak on this.
Austin is probably, the reason he's number one, he's came back like 100 times already. First time, when he got fired from WCW, reemerged in ECW, and just destroyed WCW through ECW by betraying all their characters. Then, He's going from ECW to WWE, in which he becomes the ringmaster. Change the character after the Million Dollar Man leaves due to religious purposes, I believe. And he becomes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Then he has a lot of momentum, winning the King of the Ring and everything. On Hart breaks his neck.
Austin 316 just says, I just whooped your ass.
Yes. Then Owen Hart breaks his neck at WrestleMania. I can't remember. It was either 11 or 12. It wasn't even WrestleMania.
It was a bad pile driver at a regular pay-per-view. I think it was like SummerSlam or something.
I can't remember the exact pay-per-view. He breaks his neck. Austin then comes back to become the greatest one of the greatest wrestling icons of all time. He's up there either above Hogan or right below him. Him and The Rock are like equal somewhere in there. And he helped control the WWE to overthrow WCW. Then Austin gets injured again because like his neck breaks again, I think. He comes back, still the same. He's back with what? And all that other stuff. Then he has another knee injury, which he has to wear multiple knee braces, and he wrestles, and he came back again. It's like Austin is like the comeback player of all time.
Okay. Now, my number one, I guess you guys could say I cheated because I couldn't decide between the two of them. But because they had similar injuries, I said they can be both my number one. That would be Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle. They both broke their neck. True, Kurt Angle broke his neck before an Olympics and won the 96 gold medal.
He broke his neck again.
But they both broke their neck, came back. Kurt Angle actually tried the experimental surgery, and people said that his neck is still hurting to this day, and he's trying to hide it from everybody. Benoit broke his neck, came back to win the championship. I mean, these two guys, just for breaking your neck, to come back and still be able to compete at the level that they both compete at, you have to commend both of them, and that's how I commend them, by making them co-number ones in my top five comeback wrestlers.
I agree, but you know that... I wouldn't put them above Austin or Flair or HBK, and that's why they didn't really make my list. But I felt that Chris Benoit has a great comeback story. He was pretty much a mid-carder before he got hurt. Then he comes back, wins the Royal Rumble, becomes heavyweight champion.
You ever watch his DVD?
You know, I think I have.
No, he has demons that he wouldn't tell nobody, bastard.
And he has demons, apparently, I guess. I don't know if he came back from those demons.
No, because we don't know. Because he said he has to wait for his kids to get old enough so he can tell the demons. And then once that happens, then we'll do what we have to do.
I always got to check that DVD out. I'm probably behind.
All right. So that's pretty much our top
that's
five.
That's the top five.
If you notice, missing from the top five was Triple H. Just for
nobody help. Cared about, oh, he coming back from a knee injury.
A thigh injury.
Woo. Austin had like eight of those. Ric Flair, broken back. You know, Austin had like eight knee braces.
I mean, you had your Kevin Nash injuries, too.
Yeah, but he's injured like every week. No shot at him.
You got Razor Ramon. Never made it back.
I also had The Rock on here coming back from being Rocky Maivia.
Or coming back from being a movie star. Mick Foley, I don't know if he's coming back from losing his ear.
I actually, for a moment, considered putting Hogan on my list. But I said no.
Why would you put him on your list when Hogan, when he comes back, he just has to do the same match that he did since 1987?
Yeah, but remember he came back that one time and became champion?
When hasn't he been champion?
Yeah, but I think he defeated, like, Brock Lesnar or something. It was like, what's Hogan doing still?
Brock Lesnar got hurt and he came back, didn't he?
Huh?
No, he did.
No. Brock Lesnar almost got hurt and came back. You know, he fell on his head at WrestleMania, I think, 20.
Well, I guess this is enough for our top five. We'll be back with our listener feedback and also our closing comments. We'll see you guys in a few seconds. That annoying sound that you just heard means now it's time for us to go into our closing comments and our listener feedback. Because we have feedback. Now, as I mentioned last week, Marcus asked me, did I read an email from Omar in our last episode? And I made the mistake and said, yeah, I did that last episode. I was wrong. Omar sent us a very long email about him ranting. So I'm going to read you guys this email.
Okay. And Omar, we didn't read the email because it's long, because we've had longer. And we do cut them short sometimes.
And I forgot. My bad.
You're an idiot.
Whatever. He says, I am really glad Christian has become the champ. I think I finally see the title belt with more respect and prestige. The main reason being that all the heavyweights are gunning for it. Jarrett, Rhino, Monty, Abyss, Sting. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. But they don't need a story. They just want to be champion. This is why I do not think that they need another title. Keep the X Division on one side of the show and the heavyweights on the other. Throw in a pretty cool tag team division, and that's more than enough for 1 hour. Granted, for 1 hour, I believe that is enough for 1 hour. Yeah. But if they fail to go to the next level, you need to have a 2 hour show, and you need to have one more title.
I just feel they need a television title. I think that people like Ron the True Killings, who I don't believe is in any type of title contention, Lance Hoyt, who's not really any title contention. Although I don't like Lance Hoyt, but you know. BG Kip and all them.
I just think you need to give these other wrestlers, the mid-carders, a reason to actually want to go out there and break their neck and fight.
Like Shark Boy. He's never going to be in running for the title.
Also,
I think he has it.
Okay, also his email continues. I have a real problem with the WWE lately. I have nothing to look forward to so far for WrestleMania. Triple H versus Cena, who cares? One is being pushed down our throats, and the other is known for pushing himself down our throats.
That is so true right there, and I have to agree. And this little statement right here is about WrestleMania. This is why I want that poll question. Are you excited about WrestleMania? This is the basis, and this is why I said, this is what popped in my head when I said, hey, did you read Omar's email? That one paragraph about are you excited about WrestleMania? Because apparently, there's no momentum going to WrestleMania, really, about this site.
Then he says, Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton sounds like a good match for any other SmackDown pay-per-view. I would agree that. I don't think it's a headliner. That's why I think it's going to be Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle, because I think you could build that more.
I don't know. I don't think you have to build the Orton and Angle, because Orton has been fighting for to get back at the title since Triple H had beaten him for the title, like, after 2 days of having it in, like, his own possession.
And then you have Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon. Please, please, what a waste of HBK. I agree. Undertaker versus Mark Henry. Match of the night for me to poop on. And Ray is about
to... You gotta say it like this. It's gonna be the match of the night for me to poop on.
Okay. And Ray is about to look like a fool lose to Orton after everything he has done for Eddie. I would agree. I got some more opinions, and I was wondering what you guys think. His first opinion, how about Raw? I think this should be RVD's WrestleMania title.
I agree with that. Rob Van Dam should actually defeat Big Show and Triple H in the same night in that triple threat to go on and face, John Cena. I just realized it's against John Cena. And, you know.
And he says it would just be just as memorable as Benoit and Eddie's. I think you guys give Carlito too much credit. I don't.
I like Carlito, man.
He does one move out of nowhere. Great. Let me finish. Okay. But I don't think he is cool as when he first debuted. True, his character has been decreased some, and he's not going around being cool Mr. Caribbean.
Spitting in the face and grabbing the middle rope all the time. Now that he had to develop some type of finishing move. And he really doesn't. They don't have anything to do with Carlito right now. They have him with the Masters feud, but it hasn't really... Because no Intercontinental title.
Then he says, Cena has become beyond boring. Mm-hmm. I think his performance has made me want Triple H to be a champ, and that's freaking insane of me. I would agree with that, because with John Cena, we know what we're going to expect when we see a John Cena match. We're going to see him get beat up, come back with clothesline, shoulder blocks, STF, and FU. Who cares? We can see it.
It's just so boring. Cena, like, in the last match on the Foley was referee special guest, me and Ryan were both calling the moves. Watch, Edge missed the clothesline, here comes the shoulder block. Now he does that one move when he flips the bag, and then he does the You Can't See Me move.
And then
he tries to do a big splash or something in there, and it's like, what the hell is that?
He says, all the titles are dead on Raw. The WWE title looks like a joke. It's more of a prop than a championship. The IC title doesn't mean anything, but hopefully Shelton can change that. And there's nobody going for the tag titles and the women's championship. I would totally agree. You have four different belts on Raw, yet the only one that we talk about is the WWE championship, which spins. And I agree, after a while, until the spinning belt is rid of, you can never take John Cena losing that belt.
Now, let me tell you this. The spinning belt looked good when Ash is having it. The belt looks better if John Cena wasn't having it. And I agree that Triple H is now the WWE savior. And
He's the only guy to be champion. Because once Triple H is champion, that totally means John Cena is out the picture for a while.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. That's the goal. And I hate to say, when Triple H is a champ, hate him or love him, he gives you a good performance in the ring.
Yeah.
And the only problem is that you always know that he's going to win. You just doesn't know what he's going to do in the match.
Yeah. See, look, the problem with Triple... See, the reason Rob and them can't win that Triple Threat match is because I don't want to see Rob Van Dam versus Cena.
But what they
because can, Rob can do things, but Cena can't.
But what they can do to set this up really well is that he loses, but they put a singe of deceit in there so Triple H could be pissed at him. So after Triple H wins against Cena, then you have Triple H RVD for the belt.
That would be nice.
Then as for the Intercontinental title, hopefully Shelton does win because nothing against Flair. But
I don't think it's a hopefully. I believe it's a have to. It's a must. This is the only way you can resurrect the Intercontinental title.
Okay, the tag titles, there's no tag teams. Mm-mm. The women's titles, there's no women fighters.
Actually, they are, but there's none of them that can really wrestle.
I think the story between Trish and Mickey is the more interesting thing. Then on the SmackDown, he says, I hate the Eddie storyline. It actually makes me less interested. I think Chavo should have this storyline. He could be fighting for the Intercontinental title against someone like Masters or Carlito in WrestleMania.
That would make more sense because pretty much Chavo and Eddie were brothers.
Yes.
And Ray is just like a distant friend or something.
Exactly.
And it would make more sense if Chavo was going after the Intercontinental title and let's say Chris Masters or Carlito is... Well, because, you know, Carlito be like, Eddie's not cool or something stupid like that. If you're going to exploit Eddie's death, at least do it with an Eddie family member instead of Rey Mysterio.
Yes. He says he would be happy to see Chavito driving down a lowrider for now. Rey has been over on his own, and he never needed this.
Mm-hmm.
Randy doesn't need the cheap heat either.
Nope.
This story makes me really despise Ms. McMahon. I like to see what kind of angle he could come up with if, God forbid, Shane or Steph passed away. Booker T is on fire right now. That's right. Fire.
Like Harlem Heat fire.
Yeah, which makes me think about how I wish he, along with Benoit, should be feuding over something like the number one contendership for the World Heavyweight Championship instead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad the value of the U.S. title has gone up, but these two guys are your main event players, not Mark Henry or freaking part-time employee, The Undertaker. I think the feud over the U.S. belt would work just as good if you replace them with someone like Finlay, Lashley, Boogeyman, Burchill, or OJ. Eminem rocks, but I want more London and Kendrick, as well as Gemini, but the dick suck. Mm. Now, get back to
dick
it.
Sucks.
I agree with him on this. Mark Henry could easily be replaced by JBL or somebody like that. Mark Henry shouldn't be in this title picture.
No, they could have put Mark Henry in any storyline. They could have feuded him, actually, with Lashley, just because, you know how Lashley's the big, strong guy, and if he feud with Mark Henry somehow, I don't know where they could go with, but I feel that would have been a better feud for them people right now.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that Booker T and Chris Benoit has the more entertaining, as you said earlier in the report, and Omar said, it's the most entertaining storyline probably in all wrestling today. Because you have the charisma and the wrestling ability all built into one in this feud over that U.S. title, which could easily be over the U.S. contendership.
And then, let me finish out here. He says, wow, I never read such a long email. Sorry, I got more to say, but I'll save it for the next time. See you, Omar. Omar, and everybody that we appreciate your long email. But, I mean, if we get a lot of emails, we might have to condense them a little bit. But right now, we're not getting that many emails. So, hey, we appreciate whatever you guys send us.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I just think that WWE, they need to sit down, they need to get a whiteboard, they need to make a list of all the wrestlers they have, they need to list who are heavyweights, who are the U.S. contenders, and who are the tag teams.
Who are the velocity guys we want to?
Yes, you need to make tag teams more defined. If you're going to have Kendrick and London be a tag team, they need to be a tag team only. They do not need to worry about the cruiserweight title.
No, I don't mind as much. As long as like the Mexicos, they work too. I feel that I don't mind that as much. I just feel if you create a tag team, you have to give them one a name. You can't call them Bob and Todd teaming against... You know, there's no tactic on Bob.
You know what?
They have a match. I think you need that.
I don't think you need enough because Kendrick and London.
Because you feel more like a tag. Think of Eminem. They're matching. Mercury and Nitro.
The Naturals.
Kendrick and London. Matching. Working.
Yeah, but they don't have a name. They're Kendrick and London.
Yeah, but they have the mask.
But I would agree with him. Their dicks do suck for me personally because they're so small. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of hard for me to take them serious. To me, they seem like they should be wrestling for cruiserweights more than tag teams. But who knows? And plus, I really don't care about the sex symbol. I'm a stripper.
Yeah, we already said that. I'm tired of the body of excellence, the narcissistic angle, pretty
much.
Yeah,
I don't give a damn.
Yeah. And what else? Was there anything else on
the email? No, that's pretty much it. So, we agree with your email full-heartedly, Omar. And like I said, I look forward to the next long email. Marcus, it's time, I guess, for our closing comments.
All right, my closing comments. I believe No Way Out is actually an orderable pay-per-view. Not saying you should order it. I'm saying it wouldn't be a bad idea. Because I believe the Orton and Mysterio match would be good. I believe Booker T and Benoit, if they give them the time, would be pretty good. And I believe Angle and Undertaker, if they had to give them enough time, would be the best heavyweight title fist we've seen in wrestling in a long time. Because John Cena and Batista's been injured. And this is actually and Mark Henry, come on, he's a joke. I mean, this would be the only this is probably the best heavyweight title fist you see since Batista versus JBL in a rope match. Which is bad. No, Batista versus Guerrero. That was like the last real heavyweight match. I feel this is honorable. I honestly feel that Ray is going to beat Orton. I feel that Mark Henry will probably interrupt into, what's his name? In the Undertaker and Angle match somewhere in there and screw Undertaker out, and that's probably going to start their feud up. And I think that's about it. And hopefully at WrestleMania, they put something together. They really need something to put together. There's nothing major other than Bret Hart being inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is the day before WrestleMania, that has any importance. HBK and Shawn Michaels is not important to me, really. It's just, I want your soul pretty much for nothing. I don't know.
Marcus, now with that, close the comments. I almost forgot our new segment. It's time for us to dub. Well, who is your wrestler of the week, Marcus?
My wrestler of me goes Joe. Samoa Joe. The supreme fighting machine. No, that's comma. The supreme submission machine who does the muscle. But that match, it's pretty much the match of the week. Maybe match of the year, match of the month. It was excellent. I mean, I watched it like twice already. Still didn't get old. Still enjoy seeing Christopher Daniels getting slapped in the head.
All right. My wrestler of the week is Christopher Daniels for the simple fact that in that triple threat match, he took a hell of an ass whooping. And anybody that can try to dive out the ring and get slapped upside the head should be give some type of credit. Wrestler of the week. Plus, because AJ was just cosmetic reasons, Christopher Daniels took all the big bumps from the show. The match of the week should be no surprise. It will be this triple threat match between Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Christopher Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Great match. If you haven't seen it, find a way to see it and let me know. And maybe we can work
something out. Let you know the old saying. It was a hell of a match.
My closing comments, I really have none.
As you always
do. I'm going to enjoy my vacation that I take away. Please take advantage of our new service, our voicemail. Remember, on Skype, send it to the Sharpshooters. Or, if you don't have Skype, call us at area code 310-928-6889. I really look forward to hearing all of you guys' voices. And I guess that's the show.
And no, you gotta give out. You still send the old fashioned way with the old email.
Yes.
At thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can also join the Fabber Map, put pictures of whatever you do in that thing, and find out where you're located. At thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. You can also vote for us at podcastalley.com. You don't have to leave a comment. Just vote and give me an email address. Simple as that. What else? Yeah, you can write the review on iTunes. I don't really care about that as much, but you could. It's a short review.
Now, since Marcus finished your rep, you did your rep. That's enough, Marcus. I think we ran on long enough. Let's give out that the music provided at the end of the show has been provided by the PodSafe Music Network. Please check them out at music.podshow.com. If you like the artist that we're going to play, we encourage you to look at their website. The band is called Bad Stripe or Strip, and the song is called UAS. I like the track. Hopefully you do. Really doesn't matter because it's the end of the show, so you really don't have to listen to the music. But we like to put it there. So anyway, I'm Eric.
Wait. Are you going to put the poll question up?
I will put the
WrestleMania one
up.
All right, the poll question is, so we can just explain before we end the show, is, are you excited about WrestleMania? It's going to be yes, no, or maybe, so, or I need more time to see it, something like that.
Okay. All right, so now Eric.
And I'm Marcus the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters, and we'll see you guys for episode 46.
The sequel.
Peace.